Under the skin. Hello, this is Tom, your host. Before we begin, allow me to remind everyone that Under the Scales is a member of a large family of wonderful music and culture podcasts. If you like this one, you will certainly find others to enjoy at osirispod.com. Also, this episode is brought to you by Lure Social, a very cool company. The full website is luresocial.com. Are you one of those people who obsesses over fish set lists every night when they're on tour? Do you have a long text chain with your friends debating over what they'll play? Check out Lure Social, again, luresocial.com. It's a digital community that connects fans for a unique fantasy gaming experience. You select shows and create set lists of what you think fish will play and compete against the entire fish community. Your intuition about a particular set opener, encore, or cover can make all the difference and propel you ahead of your friends. You'll have bragging rights as you win more points than they do, proving your superior fishing abilities. We've been playing it, and it's incredibly fun. Check it out. Visit luresocial.com to play. Hello, and welcome to Under the Scales. The Under the Scales mobile studio is in New York City today, where I happen to be able to catch someone who's normally in Burlington, Vermont all the time, who is also coincidentally in New York. So I made the trip up for this and a couple reasons, and I'm here with Jay Curley of Ben & Jerry's. How are you, Jay?
I'm great, Tom.
And last time I saw you was at the Baker's.
It was. I think we ran into each other in an elevator backstage on, I think, the second tonight, last night.
Okay. And you were carrying a box of secret stuff.
I had a Ben & Jerry's cooler, and in it was prototypes of the It's Ice cream flavor that I was bringing for the band to try out.
Oh, amazing. Oh, so, all right. So, we should back way, way, way up.
Yes.
Okay. So Ben & Jerry's, of course, the famous Vermont ice cream company who formed in the 80s.
1978.
Oh,
just had our 40th birthday.
Oh, wow. 40 years. Yeah. I seem to remember. Well, I'll just tell my first experience with Ben & Jerry's. So in 1982, both Trey and I graduated high school, and they moved. He was living on Front Street with, I know at least Fishman was involved in that house. It was lots of people. And two of them, I'll say their names because I haven't seen them forever. I'd love to. Brickle and Annie came in and were excited about a new ice cream store opening. And they said Ben & Jerry's is opening on, and I forget, I would love to know the name of the street.
It would have been on the corner of
Cherry Street.
No, Cherry is where it is now.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. So back then, now it's an abandoned parking lot.
Okay.
But it's College in St. Paul.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right. So for those of you who know Burlington, this was the first store in Burlington. I think there had been one prior in Shelburne.
There was one in Shelburne, but that one was the very first one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And Trey and I got in line, and serving us ice cream was Ben and Jerry.
Yep.
So I was actually there in line at the very first store, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So fast forward to 1996, The Great Went.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Fish played the song Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And both Ben and Jerry got on stage.
Yep.
And contrary to my memory, because I had to go back and kind of look at this, they didn't get in a tub. That happened later with like a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
I think Paige's kids and Fishman's kids and stuff got into a tub. So that kind of became like a communal come on stage song after Ben and Jerry appeared. It's, and also contrary to popular opinion, they're not brothers.
No, they're not. They're also not, they're literally best friends to this day.
Oh, cool.
But that is all in case anyone's wondering. And it was Clifford Ball, but Jerry actually tells a great story about being backstage and they're trying to practice it with the band and they couldn't get it right at all. And I think it was Trey who said to them, just get out there and just be loud and wrong. If you're going to be long, just be loud. So
they were.
Yeah, if you listen back to the tapes now, they were loud and wrong.
I think they were didn't even have the right key.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah. I think they had a blast.
It was mission accomplished. Yeah. They just came out and did the "Someone's Definitely in the Tub with Your Brother," yeah. And then they left.
Yes.
And at the time, I don't think they had even been announced.
No, the Flavor certainly hadn't.
Right.
And so they, I think, again, they were in Burlington. They were Ben and Jerry were kind of, you know, peripheral friends with the guys in the band. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, getting out on the Clifford Ball was part of it.
Okay. Well, then. I want to fast forward to the next big event that everyone in music, or at least in this sort of community, would know, and that's in 1987, Jerry Garcia came out.
Yes, yes.
And, of course, Jerry's still alive. You see, I didn't know until I kind of went onto the internet whether or not Jerry had ever known about Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
But, of course, he did.
Well, he did. He definitely knew about it, but... Right. Ben and Jerry's is a very entrepreneurial enterprise, right? And they just went out and tried things. And Cherry Garcia was a suggestion from a fan from Maine who was a deadhead who said, you should make this. And Ben and Jerry were both deadheads and they were like, that's a great idea. And they started making it and they started selling it. And then they got a letter from Jerry's lawyer.
Uh-oh.
And the good news is they went out to San Francisco and sorted it out and, you know, came up with a good solution. I think for a while a lot of the proceeds were going to kind of rainforest preservation work. So
well I mean and I'm not a dead historian by any means, and so this is sort of what I've gleaned from sort of common knowledge, that Jerry sort of has a history of not really kind of caring about like merch or marketing and all that stuff, and often even becoming a little bit taken advantage of. I think the ties are the one frequently, like the, you know, they made millions and millions and he gave his art to them cheaply. That might be incorrect, but in any case, so he probably, or his organization probably, turned a sort of a skeptical eye to stuff like this. But it turned out to be a big success for everyone.
Yeah, it's been great, you know, for a while for Jerry and now for his family. It's a, you know, and it's a one of the best-selling Ben & Jerry's flavors to this date.
Amazing.
And to our knowledge, the first ice cream flavor named for, you know, a rock and roll star.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Because now they're sort of commonplace. There's one for fish, or three for fish.
Yes.
There's certainly one for Dave Matthews, World Peace, or something like that.
Through the years, there's been a couple different
musicians. One Sweet World.
And then we did Dave Matthews Magic Brownies.
Oh, cool.
Neither of those. Those are both living in the graveyard.
Oh.
But
they're a special event.
No, they were real full-time flavors, but they, you know, they're not selling enough. They don't stick around.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's a testament to fish food being a great seller.
Fish food is a great seller. It's definitely top 10, you know, depending on the year, anywhere between 4 and 8.
Awesome.
And
4 and 8 what?
Like of our top selling flavors.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
With my favorite, Half-Baked, at the top?
Half-Baked is number 1.
That is such an unbelievable flavor. So I'm glad when I was looking through some of the stuff, seeing my number one up there.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's number one internationally as well. So it's a big, big seller. And
people want cookie dough for whatever reason.
I will say Half-Baked cheats a little because the number two selling flavor is chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh.
And the number three selling flavor is chocolate fudge brownie.
So they just threw both
in. Half-Baked is literally just those two together.
So, nice.
Yeah.
So let's take the two best and make it better.
Exactly.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right. So back us up to fish food and how it started and when it came out and all that stuff.
Yeah. So fish food was officially launched March 18th, 1997, actually with a show at the Flynn. And from the best of my knowledge, and again, I was not working there at the time. I was in high school. But I think there was a desire at the Ben and Jerry's side to kind of like, all right, we had Cherry Garcia, but is there something else we could do? We have these neighbors. At the time, they weren't that big, right? I mean, yes, they were selling out some amphitheaters and some arenas, but relatively speaking, they were off the radar. But again, they were acquaintances of the band, and kind of conversations just started.
Two cool kind of young budding Vermont entities.
Exactly, and you know, obviously Fish is not much in terms of commercial partnerships. I mean, maybe there's a few other examples where they've done stuff, but I think what we've done with them is one of the few things.
Yeah, I can't. Nothing comes to mind actually. Yeah,
right? I can't think of anything really either. And
kind
I
of
think
John's possible Vic Firth endorsement of his drumsticks.
Yeah, but that's kind of.
That's not the same at all.
Right. It's interesting. Like the cool part is the way the partnership evolved. I think the guys in the band and we interviewed Fishman a few years back, and he talked about how kind of Paul Newman was the kind of inspiration. It's like, well, if we're going to do this, we want to kind of give money back. And I think they were trying to figure out they were growing and they were trying to do more of that. And so I think their desire to do more kind of philanthropy coupled with this opportunity really helped spawn the Waterwheel Foundation.
Okay. And now, so even though you weren't there at the time, you've kind of picked up the mantle, like you're in the marketing side, but you specifically focus on advocacy stuff.
Yeah. So from the marketing and communication side, I partner with our social mission team to kind of bring our activism and advocacy to life. And I also do a lot of the kind of partnership work that we do. And I also happen to be a really big Fish fan. And so these days I'm, you know, one of the members on the team that kind of keeps that partnership alive with the band and the organization, and particularly the Waterwheel. I think that's really where we get to, frankly, have a little fun and get to use Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream, the business to raise a lot of money for Waterwheel.
Are you allowed to go into specifics?
In terms of dollars and cents and
sure.
all that stuff? Yeah, I mean, I can talk about the It's Ice flavor.
Okay, well, what about, is there any public knowledge that you can give us as to, like, round numbers, how much Fish food has benefited the Waterwheel?
Yeah, I think I can talk in big numbers.
Super
in,
round
like,
numbers.
Totality. Sure. In the 20 years, it's been literally millions. My guess would be north of 5 million.
Wow.
That's
again, fantastic.
Again, over 20 years, 21
years. And it benefits clean water and the Lake Champlain Basin in particular?
Yeah, that's where I think that's the main focus of the Waterwheel Foundation.
Okay.
Obviously, the folks there will explain this much better than I will, but
yes.
My understanding is that they really have kind of two divisions. One that does a lot of grant giving and philanthropy in Vermont, and a lot of that is focused on clean energy, clean water in the lake. And then they have the touring division, right? So every show, when you see them out, sometimes they're bringing nonprofits in, but always they're raising money for local nonprofits.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do they do that?
Anytime you visit the Waterwheel table, right, at a show.
You can give a donation if you want.
Buying the merch or
yes.
giving a donation. And it ends up, you know, especially when there's moments like walk-ins or Randall's Island festivals and that kind of stuff. They were, you know, it's a really great way that Fish gives back to the communities that they visit.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was a secret. The reason I asked that is was there a secret sort of Ben and Jerry's link during shows?
Oh. Or
not necessarily,
yeah,
right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, that brings us to the present day with regard to, well, actually, there was a freezer reprise.
Yes.
What was that again?
So, I think us, like most of the Fish community, were like overjoyed and blown away by just the announcement of the Baker's Dozen.
Yeah.
And we really just wanted to honor it. Like, what an achievement that was. And this was before we even knew how amazing it was going to be, right?
Right. You guys were, I remember, set up outside the very front with a tent the very first day with some Pollock art, which now we see is on the ice cream.
Yeah. So what we did is, we didn't have time to actually create like a flavor we could put in a pint and sell at the stores.
Oh, okay.
So we created what was about 1,000 samples of freezer reprise. and it had the flavor itself had a real donut theme to it. It had like donut pieces and a glaze in it. And so the first night of Baker's Dozen, we kind of set up right outside of MSG, and Headcount was there registering voters, and Waterwheel was there, and we were giving out samples, and it was a lot of fun. It was honestly, it was just our way of honoring the band and like celebrating what, you know, looking back in retrospect, was really groundbreaking. But even the announcement at the time was.
Right, right. So. That's great. It was kind of nice and sort of familiar to see you guys there because of the fish food history.
Yeah.
But now you've taken it a step further, and now there's a whole new ice cream.
Yeah. So, I mean, what happened was Freezer Reprise was a lot of fun, right? But it was only like the 1,000 people.
That's a temporary thing.
It was a flash in the pan. We also made a t-shirt that had the Pollock art, which helped us raise a lot of money for the water wheel. But it was a flash in the pan, and we were like, we want to... Let's do more of this, right? But to get an ice cream on the shelf, you know, that takes longer. And so
it's a lot of work. I can't even imagine what's involved with getting a new flavor out.
You want to get the right flavor, you want to get the right art, you want to get the right name. I mean, the really cool thing for anyone, you know, listening at home, if you haven't seen the It's Ice Cream package, it looks nothing like a Ben & Jerry's pint, right? It's Jim Pollock's art. It's a different color palette. It's really inspired by him. And so it was really fun in that way to get to do like a one-off to really just to honor the band. And so we started working on it. Like, It's Ice Cream was actually one of the alternative names for Freezer Reprise. So we were like, well, let's do it with that. And it was, whatever, 3 weeks later that I had prototypes that we actually got to bring down to the band. And they tried, or I don't know if they actually tried it, but I put it in their dress, or I didn't. The management put it in their dressing rooms, and they were excited about it.
So that was that top secret stuff you were bringing in.
Exactly.
And that's why you didn't give me any.
I couldn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's fun. I love that you mention Jim Pollock, the famous fish artist, my good friend involved.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I was thinking about this. What a perfect person to get involved, because he's been involved since the very beginning.
Right.
So he met Paige at Goddard University.
Yeah.
And I was kind of trying to think, apart from me and certainly Jim Pollock and certainly the dude of life, Steve Pollock, two unrelated Pollocks, and a Marshall, are possibly the only three who came in sort of before Fish or when Fish was extremely nascent.
Yeah.
That are still contributing artistically to the band, using the term loosely in my case.
Yeah.
But
I think you can use it a little more definitive.
I appreciate that. But still, it's kind of funny to think, like, you know, that those three are still, you know, active. And I'm so happy to see him doing posters, you know, almost every show or at least every run.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It was so fun to work with him on this project.
It's a great project. Yeah. And I even saw on the site, like, this cool animation. I think it was on Twitter.
Yep.
Where there's like a mountain climbing fish that actually climbs the mountain.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we created the pint, but we knew people would love more of the art. So Jim created a poster as well. And we sold out of those in 24 hours, but in doing so raised a lot of money for the water wheel.
Oh, good.
And then we just get to have fun with it, right? We got to animate it, even just the launch video for the flavor itself. It's, you know, using the track It's Ice, which has amazing lyrics.
He's falling on the ice, it cracks. He's plunging and join me here. Meets my eyes to my surprise. He laughs in full light of my frown. My double wants to pull me down.
And, you know, we had a lot of fun with it.
This is my first involvement with Ben & Jerry's, too, then, as a result.
Yeah.
It's Ice.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Which is great. I love it. Yeah. So now I'm involved.
Yes.
So I got to eat some. We should thank the Headcount offices and the Relics office, whose studio we're using right now.
Yeah.
So thanks to my partner, Relics Magazine, and also thanks to Headcount for offering the studio. Yeah. But there's a rumor that there's 20 pints.
There are.
Floating around here.
So as soon as we wrap here, we're eating ice cream.
We're finding it.
Yeah.
So apart from Clifford Ball, and I believe I said the Great Went earlier, I meant the Clifford Ball, where Ben & Jerry actually appeared on stage. You guys have been involved with almost every festival in some way, right?
Yeah. I think the first few, Clifford Ball, Great Went, Lemon Wheel, it was less, you know, I think we maybe had someone there selling some ice cream. It was right. fairly minimal. When the band came back and starting with Festival 8, we started really collaborating with the Waterwheel Foundation, kind of having a presence at the festivals and like some of the bigger runs like Baderfield and Randall's Island and that kind of stuff, where we'd really just kind of set up a Ben & Jerry's experience and usually either right next to the Waterwheel Foundation to, again, help them raise some money. We've done T-shirts for most of the festivals, which have been a lot of fun. Jim did one of those for us, and some of the other ones we just kind of did with, like, the first year, which would have been Magna Ball, the first Watkins Glen festival. We had a lot of fun with, like, the track vibe, and so we created a fish food T-shirt, but it was sponsored. Yeah, it looked like a racing jersey. It was right. sponsored by like Antelope, you know, tires.
Oh, it looked like it had all the yeah, all the brands. Yeah.
And
all
they
over.
Were like, you know, Colonel Forbin's garage shop and that kind of stuff. So we had a lot of fun with it.
That's cool. Now I've seen you speak yeah. on behalf of Ben & Jerry's and, mm-hmm. and the activism that they do, mm-hmm. and it seems like you took something away from the fish festival learning experience that you attained, and you kind of do that, and that's kind of how you approach activism as a brand. Or am I giving fish too much credit?
Yeah, I mean, I think what fish does in the community that fish is really created and that the community itself has created is certainly an inspiration, right? I think what we try to do as a company is use our kind of our place in the world to help grow social movements, right? We're not making them up on our own. That's not our place. But where we can, to use our ice cream, our voice, our place in culture to the degree that we have one, we try to use that to really help support and grow and shed light on really important social movements.
So socially, fish sort of shies away or tends to not really get that involved,
right?
Just because of sometimes the inherent divisive nature mm-hmm. of that. Right. Ben and Jerry's has no fear to tread with you know, in those places.
No, we don't. I think we, and for all the right reasons that fish doesn't wade into these issues, I think we see it's a really important responsibility that we have as a business, and it's part of our founding ethos that really, you know, started with the guys with Ben and Jerry. And yeah, no, we often will steer right into the controversy, not away from it. And I think we end up being not partisan in any way, but the issues that we stand up for, whether it's climate justice, racial justice, LGBTQ rights, like, they're inherently political. Right, so we're not partisan in terms of choosing parties or individual folks, but we certainly don't shy away from standing up for what we believe in.
That's good.
Yeah,
all those issues need help right now.
They do. They do.
How many shows have you been to?
I have been into, I think it's 107. I meant to literally, like, before I came down, I meant to count.
Redo
last.
Your stats?
Yeah. Yeah.
we'll give you 108 just in case you, sure. you know, plus or minus one is always,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I knew when I had 100, but I kind of cheated because I wanted it to be in Hartford. So it was a couple summers ago, and it was really like my 101st or 102nd, but I wanted it.
So you rounded down. Often people round up.
Yeah, I rounded down to get that moment.
That's always allowed.
Yeah.
You can always round down, but the over-exaggerating your counts, that's frowned upon.
Yes.
Of those 107, 108 shows, do you have any favorites, or where was your first?
Yeah, so my first was Hartford. I grew up in West Hartford, so Hartford Fall 96, which was a blast. It wasn't like one of those, oh my God, and I remember it, but I remember the tweezer, and I remember like the double drummers during the whole second set. It was one of the first or second shows after they came back at the Meadows or whatever bank or wireless company was owning it at the time. And the double Twee Prize encore. Like, to me, there's no better 4 minutes in rock and roll than Tweezer Reprise, right? And so to have them do it twice, literally right in a row. And like, again, there's been more transformative moments, but just the pure fun and joy of that.
I don't think I knew about that. So,
so
they played Tweezer Reprise in its entirety.
And they stopped, and Trey said something to the effect of, that was a blast, let's do it again, and dropped right back into it. And then they just played it again. I think maybe they had played a Tweezer and not done the encore, so he was kind of making up for it or
Got
something.
It. But. Okay, well, let's hear that right now.
You know, we're having such a great time. We've only got a a couple of minutes before they kick us off the stage. And we played Tweezer in Hershey Park, and we never did Tweezer Prize. So we're going to play it again. This is for Hershey Park.
Awesome. All right. That's great. How about any of the more recent shows?
Yeah. So I think just the sheer, honestly, emotion of it was the last night at Baker's.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I did the first night and then I did the last two. So I wasn't, you know, part of the marathon crew. But yeah, just the emotion of that last night was, it was the fact that they had did it.
Right.
And then the raising of the banner, it was really intense. Yeah. And I, you know, the older I get, the like easier I cry.
Extreme emotion that night. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And even just recently talking to Trey about it and just the, you know, emotional aspect of it. We'd actually didn't mention the banner or anything, but just being on stage with his friends and making that accomplishment and having it being done, I think was overwhelming to the band.
Right.
And it was overwhelming to the audience.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, there weren't many dry eyes around me during On the Road. On the road, yeah. Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're best of friends. Sister that the world keeps turning our way. And our way. It's on the road again. I can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. Or, you know, so.
Have you done other projects, not necessarily fish related, but water wheel related?
I think one of the most fun things that we've done with the water wheel was to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Fish Food. We created what was the world's largest cowbell ensemble, and John Fishman led the band. It was at the top of Church Street, and we had 2,000 to 3,000 people all playing the cowbell to Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yes.
And God, it was just a blast.
Yeah.
It was pure fun.
And was that after that Saturday Night Live?
Definitely was. Perfect. It was inspired by that, yeah. I think. Chris, so what Chris happened?
Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Yeah. And Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
We were at Watkins Glen, and I was talking with one of Fish's managers, and she runs the water wheel, Beth, and it was really her idea, but we had just run the 5K race.
Oh yeah.
And we were saying
Runaway Gym.
Exactly, which I've signed up for this year as
well.
Oh,
okay, good. Yes.
So we were talking, we get like, let's do something fun to celebrate the 15th anniversary. And we were thinking of a parade or a run or something in Burlington, and she had the idea of let's break a record, and she found this cowbell
and ensemble record.
Yeah, and it was just so
what
fun.
Was the record, and what did you guys end up breaking?
I think the record was in the high like thousands, like 1,800-1,900, and I think we were well more than 2,500. And
still an attainable record. I might attempt to just break that on my own.
It is possible. Yeah. I think we were, or she was really looking for, what can we do? You know, what can
right.
we break?
Right.
There was a record
of naked people or something. I forget. There was something
that
broken.
Was at the Great Went.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being woken up in my tent by my friend being like, let's go get naked for this photo. And I was like, no, get away from me.
Yeah. Let's just get naked right here. sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we've talked about Ben and Jerry's at fish festivals. Mm-hmm. Are you at other festivals as well? Non-fish?
Yeah, so occasionally. Uh-huh. I think you're almost always guaranteed to see us at a fish festival. But right. over the years, certainly in the last decade, we've done a lot of other festivals like Outside Lands or Governor's Ball and Lock-In. But one of the bigger partnerships we did was with Bonnaroo. And so for about, I forget exactly, 5-6 years, we were there every year, and we did a lot more with them, where we actually created a Bonnaroo flavor.
Oh, wow. What was that called?
It was called Bonnaroo Buzz.
Nice.
It was a coffee malt ice cream with English toffee pieces and a caramel whiskey swirl to kind of ode to Tennessee. So that was really fun, and it was fun because, you know, I think for Ben and Jerry's, we had Cherry Garcia, we had Fish Food, and we were looking for kind of like, this was, I think it was in 2009, we're kind of looking for another kind of musical partnership. And Bonnaroo at the time really represented, like, okay, it really has its roots kind of in the jam band scene, right? But it has grown to kind of encompass modern American music.
Right.
So it was really kind of a great partner to work with, and the crew at Superfly was great.
Nice. So along that vein, do you ever utilize any sort of younger musicians, so to speak? I mean, Phish and the Dead and Dave Matthews kind of all hail from like a 50 and older. Yep.
Well, I think some of the work we've done, again, over the last decade has, many folks might know, the organization called Reverb. They do a lot of like greening of concert tours and advocacy, and it's led by Adam, who's one of the, he's in Guster, right? The band Guster, right? 8 or 9 years ago, we got a call from one of the folks at Reverb saying, John Mayer really wants to just give out some ice cream at a concert. And we're like, he had asked them, do you know anyone at Ben and Jerry's? They knew us. So next thing I know, I'm down with like a couple folks on my team at Jones Beach backstage. And basically John Mayer just wants to give out ice cream. And this is,
when you think about it, what chance that John Mayer like woke up and like called his manager and said, I'd like to give out ice cream at a concert. You know that that's like a manager translating it, right? Yeah. There's no way that he said that.
That's my guess. Yeah. It was really interesting though, like getting out there and
when you met him, did he want to give out ice cream?
Yeah. No, he was way into it. And so we get out there and we're in like, picture a standard like Ben and Jerry's ice cream truck.
Right.
So the plan was I'd start giving out ice cream, get some people over, and then he would just kind of come over and start doing it too. So we did that a couple times. People lost their mind. Like, I've never been that close, and certainly on the other side of like people freaking out to meeting a famous person.
Wow.
So we had to kind of like shut that down and go over to another zone before it got too big.
Really?
It was really fun. And he was really interesting. He was so, he was just so excited to be out there.
That's great.
Like interacting with the fans.
That's great. So Phish has always had a little bit more of a personable relationship where they wouldn't be like flipped out over necessarily, but maybe who knows whatever motivates that kind of behavior.
I
mean, I have theories, but have Ben and Jerry like done social activism on their own themselves, not through their company or
the co-founders?
Yes,
absolutely. And certainly I think, you know, the guys are still involved in the business these days. They're still, you know, on the payroll and really working on the stuff they want to work on.
Okay,
which
cool.
is almost exclusively the activism and advocacy work.
Oh, good.
Which is great. I get to interact with them a lot like that. I actually was part of the team that helped get them arrested a few years back for some civil disobedience.
Oh, under what was the issue?
So it was actually, it was a really, really interesting movement. This was, I think, the spring of 2016. And it was the kind of the coming together of the environmental movement, groups like Sierra Club and Greenpeace, with the civil rights movement, groups like the NAACP.
Oh, wow.
And it was a rally around getting big money out of politics and then getting people in. So it was about, you know, things like overturning Citizens United so corporations can't just spend unlimited amounts of dark money, and reauthorizing the Voting Rights Act, making sure people have access to polls. So it was this really cool confluence of organizations, and we were the only business there, which in some ways is cool, but I'd like it if there were more businesses joining us. But there was about 5,000 people in this march, and it ended with an act of civil disobedience on the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so the guys got arrested.
Huh. That was their goal, kind of.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Okay.
Yeah, they meant to. And along with, like, you know, the executive directors of NAACP and Greenpeace. And the interesting thing for me on that was the mainstream media didn't cover it.
Oh.
Zero coverage at all. But we had actually brought, like, a crew with us, like a videographer and a writer and a photographer. And that night we put up a blog that was, why did Ben and Jerry get arrested? And like that went viral, and like the next day or two, you know, you had all the major media outlets covering it, and in doing so telling the story of the issue, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, when we get it right, we're able to use our business in that way.
That's really great. What a great business. Yeah. And what a great partnership over the years with Phish.
Yeah.
And thanks so much, Jay, for elucidating the relationship.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we at Ben and Jerry's, we consider ourselves so lucky to get to frankly, have fun and do partnerships like this.
Seems like such a fun company and a company striving to do good.
Yeah, and we're trying our best. And just to be able, like, to be, you know, of the fish community, trying to do cool stuff.
You're in it, for sure.
And we're trying our best. Hopefully people like It's Ice Cream. And,
yeah. Well, if you're on that secret backstage elevator at Madison Square Garden, then that means you're in the community.
That was my one and only time there. But
thank you so much, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
All right, so long. Osiris. This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.